Connecticut. I don't think I want to leave if this weather is this nice all the time. Is this how it is all year round? Man, oh man, this is like, I mean, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but you kind of hope it's something like this weather-wise, right? Not quite sure how that all works, but beautiful here. Of course, the fellowship, we have enjoyed our time with the events yesterday, of course, today. Appreciate the fellowship, and appreciate your pastor, his wife, so very much, and we do count them as friends, as examples and partners in ministry, and so thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here. And we love your family. Thank you so much for serving God at the place where I'm raising my family. Okay, and we're raising our family because you stayed right and kept the camp straight. And now it's just impacted us in a special way. And, of course, we shared so many stories. We literally just talked for like 5 hours. I told your kids, like, we had adult boring talk for 5 hours and drank coffee, okay? And so I asked the kids if they played today. I said, we didn't play today. We just did boring adult talk, okay? But we so just enjoyed that very much. And appreciate the encouragement, and your pastor loves God. He loves his wife, he loves his family, and it's more and more obvious the more I get to spend time with him. And so you count them as a blessing, I know you do. We still like his wife a little bit better, but anyways, you understand that, okay. And so good to be here once again tonight. Grab your scriptures. We'll eventually get there, 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, but I want to give you just a little bit more of a robust, dive into the weeds kind of view of Camp Kobiak. And, of course, I know you have heard of Camp Kobiak mentioned by your pastor a few million times. And, of course, the 44 years that the Love family was at the helm. It really is a wonderful, wonderful ministry. My wife and I have been there now, I mentioned, for about 10 years or so. We have currently, 14 full-time staff and their spouses. We operate a college ministry year-round. We had 8, as many as 12 interns, we call them, or camp apprenticeship program. Basically, college-age kids, not sure where they want to do, come get involved in the ministry of camp. They live there, they work there, they serve there. And so we have kind of an operating staff of close to 22 to 25 year-round. We hire 80 college-age kids for our summer program, okay? And so I know when you're a summer camp, people think summer's like your hardest time of the year. The answer is like, no, it's really weird, actually. Summer for us is actually the easiest time. You know why? Number one, it's finally routine, okay? Because you do the same thing every single week for like 3 months. For the first time in the 12-month season, it is routine. Number two, all them college-age kids with all that energy, you think I got energy? Wait till these college-age kids come. We just manage them, and they run around and do everything, right? Okay, they're the counselors, they're the kitchen workers, they're the maintenance, they're the program, they're the this or that. We, of course, are around serving, but more of a management or people management. And so summertime, of course, is wonderful and great. It really is a robust, wonderful year-long camp. The easiest way I try to say it is all seasons, all ages. Okay, and in a place like Kobiak, sometimes people think it's only summer. And so we want to share with you some of the other events and things that happen kind of behind the scenes just to give you a little bit more idea to pray for us. And once again, you know, Tina and I, we travel a lot, and obviously she's a much prettier face than me. Can I get an amen? Have you seen me? Have you seen her? Let's try that again. Can I get an amen? She's a much prettier face. Okay, but we travel a lot, and of course we're a lot of times what we'd say the face. But we have so many other couples and families that are serving the Lord at Camp Kobiak, okay? And so sometimes it's like, oh, they're just the missionary. Let's pray for them. We have a great team, and a lot of young people have given up their lives to serve the Lord at Camp Kobiak. So you remember to pray for our wonderful staff and team, our college-age kids, and, of course, our 80 college-age kids that come in for our summer staff team. You make sure you pray for them, that God would continue to use them in a tremendous way. A couple things about Camp Kobiak. We have some upcoming events. We had a couple of these we just had, but we left them on here. Just I wanted to show you some of the events that we do have throughout the year. We had our Youth Leaders Conference, which this was obviously directed at youth pastors and those are serving, making a difference in the youth in the Midwest. We had close to 70 youth pastors and their wives just this past April. It was a great event. Once again, Camp Kobiak is so wonderful. The bread and butter of what we do is certainly kids, bringing evangelists, bringing in preachers to impact them for a week of camp. But we're able, because of the facilities, to have so many different events, okay? And so to have some of these pastoral events, we had a big one last fall, we'll have another big one this fall, and then the youth leaders, we just had a great time together challenging youth leaders. Ministry is like the same but different today. There's just some new challenges, okay? And we talked about that in the Youth Leaders Conference with our kids. So we have that event. We did have a ladies retreat Fill My Cup. We, of course, do two ladies retreats throughout the year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And so we had some great, we had a great event this past little April as well. We have a young adults retreat. This one's kind of interesting. In my tenor of Kobiak, this has always been an interesting group. What's a young adult, right? Well, did you know it's kids are taking longer to grow up just a little bit? Okay, whether getting married is later or getting jobs or not playing video games and sitting in their parents' basement, right? Things like that, okay? It's just a different age as far as how they're growing up. There's a lot of actually secular books, secular studies about this stuff. And so we want to try to find a way to minister to this group in all of our churches. So we came up with the Young Adults Retreat. And now this is like year number three, I believe, on them. We do one in the fall, one in the spring. And we've had 29-year-olds come. We've had 18-year-olds come. We've had young couples come that are like 23, 24, not a lot of friends. They wanted to come meet some new people. So really it's just kind of a unique program that we offer for our kids. It really is something that we're excited about. That is our Young Adults Retreat. We also have our Father-Son Retreat. Obviously, dads and sons. Being a dad is important to me. I love the verse, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." We just kind of have a weekend where dads can come up with their boys, get some good teaching, preaching. We have some classes for the kids. But just being with their boys in the outdoors, in God's creation, really is a wonderful event. So we have our Father-Son Retreat. And, of course, our summer camp. That's bread and butter of what we do. We're already at really full capacity, okay? And so let me give you some insight. Everybody raise your hand, say hi. How many of you are thinking about ever going into camp ministry? Raise your hand. Brother loves hands raised. He'd go back in a heartbeat. I know he would. All right. If you ever go into camp ministry, now keep your hand up so you can wave at me. I want to make sure you get this. Justin, if you ever go to camp ministry, make sure that the camp director is not married to the registration secretary. Let me explain how this goes. Honey, we are at capacity. We have no more room. Every name has a bunk, no more room. Church comes up to me and says, "Hey, Brother Aaron, can I get into camp week number 3? Absolutely, we have plenty of room. 17 more beds, we'll figure it out. Honey, you don't understand. We're full. See how this tension goes, okay? So the Lord has used, you know, this process for the work of sanctification really in her life to help, you know, because I'm just like the more the merrier, okay? And so we are actually packed for summer camp. This is obviously the heartbeat of what we do. It's the bread and butter financially, and of course just the volume of what we do. It really is the heartbeat of the camp to impact. And we're looking forward to a great summer camp this summer. Once again, we do covet your prayers, okay? And we'll talk about this a little bit, but you know, Satan is always in opposition to what God wants to do, right? We forget that. We're going to talk about that a little bit today in regards to prayer from 1 Peter. But you pray for us. We believe that God wants to work, but the prayers of his people need to flood into these things, okay? And it's a good reminder for all of us. I challenge you this morning to pray for lost people. How many remember that? Okay, did you pray for anybody? We forget, so get it back up at the forefront of the priority and just pray for people to be saved. You can name people to be saved, okay? And so don't forget to pray for us. We do covet your prayers. We do have a family camp. This is just a great, refreshing time. We do it kind of the 4th of July week, which is kind of hard to have a junior team week. You know, parents are busy. Family stuff's going on. So we do like a big family camp event. We have close to 30, 40 families come up. It's a great opportunity. We have fireworks down at the lake, things like that. It really is a beautiful, beautiful time. And so make sure you pray for that. We also have something we call leadership camp, which is targeted at the leaders in our youth groups, usually sophomores, juniors, seniors, kind of focusing really on the juniors, seniors, to come up to camp, get notched up a level in leadership. It's a very good program that we have. Dr. Jim Shetler is one of our speakers. We look forward to having him. So this is just kind of gives you a little bit more of our events. I don't have a slide on here, but we do have an event for men. All the men say yay. Guess what? It's not a men's retreat. Brother Love, I'm so sorry that you used to host these. Brother Love used to host men's retreat. We don't do them anymore. They're not scriptural. They're not biblical. They're not right. You know why? Because men don't retreat. So we do man camp. What do you do different than Brother Love does? Nothing. Absolutely nothing but a name change, okay? But I do know what we do. We shoot guns, we eat smoked meat, and we get a lot of preaching. We called it man camp. Attendance doubled overnight just like that. Can you believe that? Because men are like, "I don't want to go to a men's retreat. Man camp, I'm in." I don't know what it was, okay? And so we do have a men's events as well. Okay. So obviously, you know, we do hire our college age kids for summer. And want to make mention of that. There we go. And so we're close to right now 85% of our contracts in. These are some of the schools that we have some of our kids coming from. This is a very important stat for us. 59 of our staff were returning. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean much to you. Pastor Love knows exactly what that means. When you got kids who already served a summer come back, they're almost four times more effective. Now, Brother Love asked me one of the challenges that we're facing in the Kobiak world and the camp world today. This, by far, is probably top of the list, top three for sure, of the big challenges that we're facing in camp ministry. We can't pay these kids a lot of money. Do you understand that? You know, in comparison to what they would go home and work a summer job. So we do really rely upon parents, local church to help them, especially getting back to Bible college. But the kids today, the Bible college prices are just super high. How many understand that? Is anybody paying college bills? Does anybody remember paying college bills? Raise your hand. College is very expensive. And trying to get these kids to work a summer of ministry is very difficult, especially trying to find Generation Z to make a decision more than next week. Come on now. I'm telling you, it's like crazy. I'm talking to kids right now who don't know what they're doing for the summer, and they're graduating next week. Like, I'm serious, okay? So this is just one side of camp ministry that the local church world, now you guys are Connecticut, obviously I do a lot of talking to churches more in the Kobiak geographical realm, but I know you got the Wilds out here, they're having the same problem too. Okay, this isn't a Kobiak thing, it's just the challenge of Bible college prices, the ministry mindedness of kids, it's just not as important as it was, but the one thing that, of course, your pastor knows, Mrs. Love knows, what God can do in the heart of a college-age kid at camp is so powerful. Okay, when they give up 3 months to go serve Jesus at a camp, I'm telling you what, we make an impact on the campers. We make a lifetime impact on those college-age kids. Okay, and I know this is kind of like me rambling just a little bit, but in our 10 years, I used to know the number, I think it's somewhere around 40. We've had 40 couples that met at Camp Kobiak. Think about that. Because they all got married in the last 10 years, right? Where, you know, if our kids aren't going to Christian college, Bible college, where are they meeting, you know, spouses, future spouses? Think about it. Okay, one place for sure, and it's kind of always been there, but the less people go to Bible college and Christian university, I think it's just more, is they meet them at a place like Camp Kobiak, okay? Anybody know anybody single? Sign them up for Camp Kobiak. We'll try to get them married by the end of the summer. Okay. And so, hey, you pray for us about this. This seriously is something we pray about. And here's how I pray. God, please move in people's hearts to send them to Camp Kobiak and provide for their needs. And that's about all we can do. And it is becoming more and more challenging along the way. And so this is a huge part of camp ministry that maybe you don't think about. But, like, we got to have staff. You got to have college-age kids to help run this place. And that's a big deal for us. Okay, so you pray for us. That's a big prayer request that we have. We do have some projects going on at the camp. We've done ladies' gym restrooms. Now, most of this will probably mean more to these guys, okay? And I told you, we just remodeled the guys' bathroom. I think I shared that with you. We just put in a new staff house. We took care of our op staff ladies' housing. Men's gym restroom was remodeled. We're talking about doing a main entrance gate, office building facelift, a camp sign, some upper courtyard projects. We are praying for God to do some big things, okay? My wife has a, is it House, Pinterest, what is it? Trello. Anybody know Trello? It's like an online design idea place. She has all these ideas of all these buildings and all these things that she wants to see God do at Camp Kobiak. And my wife prays to the God of heaven and earth about things. Sometimes it makes me nervous, okay, just on some things, okay, but I tell you what, it's a wonderful asset, wonderful blessing when you have a wife who believes the Lord. So, you know, Brother Love, there will be a chapel at the lake. When? I'm not sure exactly. But I think God will do it if the Lord tarries. And so I'm saying that to you right now. So if that chapel at the lake is there and I come back, you're going to be like, I remember when you were talking about that, okay? And so that's one of our prayer requests, that God would allow us to build a chapel at the lake. And, of course, the more churches we have, we're growing in our good trajectory higher, the more churches, more kids, et cetera. But along with the kids become the youth pastors and sponsors. So we have got to provide housing for the sponsors. So that's a big prayer request. We ask that for people to pray for about us. Okay. So Chapel Lake, sponsor lodging. And we'll pray, see what the Lord will do for us in the future. A little bit of just things that I like to talk about as far as camp ministry. I try to sum this up four ways: partnerships, participation, power, and plan. There will be a quiz after church. So everybody take notes. Partnerships. What makes camp ministry, and really all camp ministries, fueled is these partnerships that we have with local churches. Camp ministry is always downstream from the local church. Okay? Camp ministries are not equal to the local church, not above the local church. All they are is a tool, a very complex compound miter saw thing, but all they are is a tool to offer churches like yours resources to have retreats and camps and things like that. And so we work really hard to create, cultivate, and strengthen local church partnerships. On a trip like this, where I'm out in Connecticut, do you know how many phone calls I've made to pastors? Okay, lots, okay. Because we're always just talking, encouraging. How can we get behind what pastors are doing, what God's doing in families and local churches? It's a very important part of the ministry of Camp Kobiak. We also have power. We try to communicate clearly what God is doing. We understand the dangers of social media and internet, some of those things, but we also understand those can be a tool. So we just try to communicate what God is doing, okay? And so if you have one of those social media platforms and you want to follow Camp Kobiak, we'd be glad to just keep you updated about what the Lord is doing and how God's power is being evidenced there. Participation. We try to host well-run, spiritually intense camps, retreats, and events. And then we have a plan behind the scenes, which is a little bit of our strategic business plan that we've been working with. God got us out of debt 2 years ago. It's an amazing story. Like, I mean, it's an amazing story, okay, what the Lord did. And it's amazing when you just trust God, obey, keep his agenda at the front, what he can do. And so a little bit about the ministry of Camp Kobiak, we want to just kind of highlight some of those things. Does anybody have any questions, comments, dad jokes, snide remarks, funny stories about your pastor? Lou, see me afterwards. I know you got at least one. Okay. Any questions about the ministry of Camp Kobiak, how you can pray for us? Once again, we appreciate the opportunity to come. And I know it's not like all of you are going to run down and do a retreat next weekend at Camp Kobiak. We'd love to have you. It's only a 14-hour drive, I heard, okay? And so, listen, but you can pray for us. And, of course, that's your pastor's heart. But more importantly, the work of God happens at places like this. And I think Pastor mentioned this. There is not a lot of Bible camps left. Okay? There's not. And this generation needs places like this. And so you pray for the Wilds. You pray for Camp Kobiak. You pray for the Bill Rice Ranch and all these other ministries that God's raised up, because we all need them. We need them for the next generation. So anybody have any questions? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity to share a little bit about the ministry of Camp Kobiak. I appreciate the opportunity to once again serve there. I can turn this off, Pastor. Is that right? Green? I get it? Oh, here, let me. No. Let me just have it right side up and look at the on button the right way, okay? I got the PowerPoint working this morning, and I have an upside-down remote controller. How about that? All right, very good. All right, take your scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I promise I won't be long, and all God's people said. Hey, listen, I get it. That beautiful weather today. But I tell you what, let's gather around the words just for a few moments and be challenged by the scriptures today. We talked about being stirred up today. We're going to be in another one of Peter's epistles. We talked about being stirred up. You guys remember that? Yes. You remember what was supposed to stir us up? No, it wasn't just an emotional appeal. You know, we all get moved by things. But Peter really directed us back to the Word of God. And he really did, to stir us up and to stir our minds in a very intellectual, rational way. The gospel is very rational. How old are some of you? Come on, just shout it out. 60? Okay, if you just want to give me a general idea, if you want to say 50 plus, that's fine. 40? I'm 41. 67? 82. Amazing. I wouldn't put you a day over 55. That's wonderful, man. Appreciate that. You're welcome. 80. Oh, buddy. I love it. Okay. So is there anybody like 85? Love it. Is there anybody over 100? Pastor Love, put your hand up. Okay. So I'm just going to go safe here. 100 years ago, 100 years ago, God was still God. And you came into this universe birthed by your mother. Okay. For some reason, This world today thinks that they can show up into God's universe and tell them what it is. And so as Peter points us back to the Word of God and stirring us up, he reminded us that the eternal God has been carrying out his plan long before anybody in this room showed up on the earth. And long after, okay, yet God has still been working. We need to be stirred up by that. We got stirred up by having God's heartbeat. You remember that? Praying for souls. God is not willing that any should what? Perish. God is not willing that any should perish. That should move us to want to be a witness for Christ. And God's expectation for his people to be at peace with him, to be spotless, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Remember that? I hope you were stirred up by that. Go back and read that passage again this week. I trust the Lord will use it. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's read some verses, verse 7. Starting verse 7. We're going to get right into it. It's a real practical message. I'm very aware of the time, and I'm very aware of the beautiful afternoon, okay? But let's just ask God to use his scripture in our hearts today to help us throughout this week as we live for the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, but the end of all things is at hand. That's kind of a dramatic statement. Did you just get what Peter said? The end of all things is like, not like coming in the future. It's like now. It's right here. It's coming down the pike. It's at hand. Okay. We're going to talk tonight about what I've called Maranatha living. Of course, we went to school at a place that was named Maranatha. It's a Bible word, a Bible truth, a Bible concept referring to the return and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about God's timetable today. And of course, we believe the next event of Jesus, or the next event of God's timetable, is Jesus coming. Okay. And as a Christian, I've always tried to work my way through that. What does that look like? I've known the Lord for a long time now. What kind of life does that really look like to have Maranatha living? And then I came across this passage in 1 Peter, and like most of the New Testament, and like all the Gospels, the parousia, the return of Jesus Christ, isn't some alarmist, pie in the sky, what in the world does that look like living? It actually is a very practical, powerful truth that helps us live practical, powerful truths in our lives. And that's why we're looking at in our first few verses today. Let's ask the Lord to help us out tonight. Would you pray with me? And when you pray, I know it's easy to check out. Just pray the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. Can you do that? Do you believe you have a book that's alive? Yeah, the book's alive. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And let's pray even tonight that God's word will speak to our hearts like that two-edged sword to pierce and help us out, convict us, make us more like his son tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful to know you. Father, thank you for these people that gathered on a Sunday night. So many other things to do, so many other good things. But Father, they've given time to come to your house to hear from you. And oh God, I pray you won't disappoint. Lord, I pray would be succinct tonight. You'd use your word in a powerful way. Help us. Make us better Christian servants for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The end of all things is at hand. You ever heard the term Chicken Little? You guys remember Chicken Little? Chicken Little became synonymous with alarmism, the term being used to describe people who needlessly stoke fear among people. With Peter dropping this statement, the end of all things is at hand, it almost could be, in some sense, just be like some alarmist attitude, right? The end of all things at hand. What are we going to do? Panic and run around. Okay, the story of Chicken Little ran around and told everybody, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. You all know the story. Okay. But that's really not what Peter is doing. And neither is that Bible truth about the appearing of Jesus and the return of Jesus. It's not moving us to be some pie in the sky kind of like weird concept, untouchable concept. The parousia, or the appearing of Jesus, which is really the end of all things as God culminates his plan in Jesus, it's actually supposed to be profoundly practical. Did you know that? Okay. It actually is supposed to look like something in your life and my life. And here's what Peter says this looks like in your life. He says three things. You ready for this? Pray, love, serve. Got it? Do you believe Jesus is coming? Well, here's how you know if you really believe it. Pray, love, serve. Let's follow the text of Scripture, shall we? Here we go. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch and do. Watch unto what? Prayer. First thing you do is pray. People who believe that the end of all things is at hand, the culmination of the Son of God, we don't have time to really develop all this, but in the verses preceding, it talked about Jesus Christ being the judge of the quick and the dead. That these people were not running in the same riot and excess, okay? Or in other words, they were losing friends. That's what it was. I remember when I first got saved, I lost friends. Did you know that? Okay? And I struggle with that. As a young person, I struggle with that. I was losing my friends. And it was a good reminder to me that these people who used to hang out with me, they're doing things that I don't do, and I'm not going to hang out with them anymore. And it reminded me what Peter reminds his believers, that one day the end of all things is hand, and the end of all things is they will give an account to Jesus Christ. Okay? Just like I will give an account to Jesus Christ. Okay? And so what Peter is developing here is the end of all things attitude, the return of Jesus Christ, the judgments that are coming. And the first thing Peter says that what it should affect is your prayer life. I think we can all be a little more consistent. Can I get an amen? We can all be a little bit more full of what I say content. So not only consistent. Do you know there's prayers in Scripture? Some of you are like, what do I pray? How do I pray? There's a whole bunch of prayers in Scripture. We don't have time to mention them. Ask your pastor. Google it. You'll find it. There's a lot of prayers in Scripture that will help us with our content. So not only more consistent, our content. But here's what I want you to understand. Peter says, be sober and watch unto prayer. The word sober is used several times in the New Testament. It carries this idea of being seriously minded, okay? Kind of this idea that you take spiritual things serious. And people who take spiritual things serious begin to have a serious prayer life. Can you give me, we've got to be a little interactive tonight, what are some spiritual truths that you know are serious? Come on, help me out here. Holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Is God holy? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that an important one? So if you're like, okay, God takes holiness serious, I need to pray that sin doesn't control me. Okay? Do you pray that? You see, soberness, the end of all things is at hand, should create this attitude that floods into our prayers to pray about things that are important. If you don't pray about things that are important, don't tell me you believe that Jesus is coming again. What's another truth? God loves me. Oh, yeah. God loves you. Yeah. And God loves others. Okay. Is there a hell, yes or no? There's a whole lot of crazy in Christianity today. We just need to get back to the book. Here's what serious Christianity does. It prays. And it prays about serious things. You know what it looks like, Maranatha Living? It's prayer. Hey, I didn't say this was going to be flashy tonight. I'm just saying it's going to be Bible night. Pray. Pray, pray. Souls are perishing. Hey, listen, how many have kids, grandkids? How many got kids in this room? Anybody? You got some kids in this room? How many got grandkids? You love your grandkids? Raise your hand. You love your grandkids? Tina and I got two boys, Jack and Will. We're raising them at camp. They're 15, they're 14. Man, Justin, these guys get to grow up like at Camp Kobe. Your kids got to grow up at Camp Kobe. They're like spoiled, rotten camp kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get to grow up with a lake in their backyard, a zip line up. I mean, it's great. We love our kids, okay? But you know what? I love my kids. I love my kids. Do you know there's a satanic being who's real and powerful who's after my kids? As God is real, so is Satan. Oh, he's not as powerful. His end is coming. But you think about that. You think about, Justin, look at those three kids. Look at those, especially the pretty one in the middle. She's much prettier than the other two. Kira. Hey, you got some kids in this church? What about that young man? Matt was his name, right? Matt, right? Matt came in. You know Satan's after Matt? Yeah? Satan's after Matt. Brady? You pray for him? Now, I'm a guest preacher, so I can do this. He didn't ask me to do this. He wouldn't want me to do this. But do you know that God goes after pastors? Or, I'm sorry, Satan goes after pastors? You see, we're talking about the end of all things. Come on, guys. The end of all things. All of human history and all of biblical history is coming to a point. And it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And people who really believe that are people who take prayer seriously. Hey, listen, you're not going to be a missionary to Africa. I get that. But, you know, you can sure pray for 5 minutes a day for them.
And you can pray for your pastor a little bit more. Come on now. And you can pray for the kids of this church a little bit more. Souls are perishing. Satan's deceiving. And the gospel needs to go forward. And I'm telling you what, we are just a little callous and a little soft and a little bit too convenient in this country. And we forget to get on our knees and pray to the God of heaven and earth about these things. And Peter says, listen, the end of all things is at hand. So pray. How many think you can pray more? I think I need to be praying more. I'm convicted now. I'm just preaching this to you. Come on. I need to pray more. Number two, love. Check it out. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. This is great. Peter says, here's what this looks like. You love people. Now notice what the text says. He says, above all things. What does that mean, above all things? Stop and let the Bible be the Bible. Come on. Above all things. It's saying there's probably a lot of things that are important. Pastor, there's a lot of things that are important. But he says, above all things, have fervent charity. Fervent carries the idea of to the maximum potential. Can I ask you a question? You and I know this answer. Do you love people to the maximum potential? Oh, we love people when it's convenient. We love people when I don't have to sacrifice. We love people when it's easy. You know how hard it is to love difficult people? It's difficult, okay? Peter says, you really want to know what Maranatha living looks like? It's people who are praying. The sober-mindedness floods their prayers because they understand all these spiritual realities are true, and it leads them to their knees to pray. And then he says it looks like this. People who love to the maximum potential because offenses are real. Look at that next part of that verse. I'm going to hopefully help you out tonight. This verse helped me out, and I need a lot of help. Maybe you need a lot of help. He said this, love covers what? That's like my marriage. Like, I figure that verse is describing my marriage, okay? The only reason Tina's with me because she's covered a multitude of sins. You should try living with me. Okay, so, hey, listen, multitude of sins. Think about that. Offenses are real. Get over it. I'm a guest preacher. I can talk like that. I'm out of here tomorrow morning at 6 in the morning. Get over it. There's a sermon illustration about a husband and wife who lived on this 40-foot boat, and it went all and on how they lived on it for like a decade, and then finally somebody got them together and said, how in the world, living on a boat in the middle of the ocean, did you guys stay happily married? How in the world did you do that? They said, it's really simple. Get over it. Now, that may be the secular way of saying what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying this. As a Christian, offenses are real. People are always be selfish, always be self-centered. You're married to one of them tonight. Kids are all going to be kids. People at work are going to be people at work. People who drive on the road are always going to be terrible drivers. You go to the fast food restaurant, they're always going to be slow. Listen, get over it. Or what I'm saying is, what I'm really saying is love. And put on this charity. You decide that you're not going to be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. Doesn't mean people aren't idiots. they're still going to be idiots. They always will be. It just means you got great peace. You say, you can't touch this. You wake up in your day and say, I'm free. What in the world do they have anything to do with your joy in Jesus anyways? Just decide. Offenses are real. And they hurt. And I get it. They're hard. Especially people you love. I get it. But you decide that you're going to be a Christian and cover the multitude of sins. Isn't that good? The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now, I'm all not about Disney princesses, but you know what some of you need to do tonight with something in your life? Let it go. But what? Let it go. Some of you are struggling with bitterness tonight. How do I know? Because you're human. And you're in relationships like I'm in relationships. Okay? And you've been hurt just like I've been hurt. Not as hurt as he was. And as your Savior hung on that cross and looked down at those men who were killing him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the attitude of Christ-like character in a world that's so easily offended, that so desperately needs these forgiveness and love and grace. half this world is divorced, the other half are angry, and not the people of God. That's what Peter is saying. You want to know what the end of all things hand looks like? Is people who love. Last one is serve, okay? So we got pray, we got love, and we got what?
Yeah, serve. There's a lot of good things in here. Here's what he says. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Notice how the Bible is very wise and very brilliant. It had to add that, like, last two words in the English, right? How many like to be nice to people? But then you're doing it underneath your breath saying, rah, 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 rah. Okay, like, rah, rah, rah. Okay, yeah. Do it without grudging this time, okay? You do it because God, here's what Peter's saying. God has graced you. You get to now serve and grace to other people on the one basis and one basis only that God has graced you. Here's what he says. Use hospitality as every man has received the gift. See it? As every man hath received a gift. Pastor and I have talked about this. I know your theme is grace. Does anybody deserve Jesus? Raise your hand. No, thank you. You don't deserve Jesus. You don't deserve God's grace. You don't deserve his forgiveness. You don't deserve a second chance. Neither do I. But what Peter is saying, think about it. Think about it. As you've received this gift, so minister the same one to what? Another, as good stewards of the... Good stewards of the what? Yeah. The multi-purpose, multifaceted grace that has been distributed to you, not just at conversion, but every moment, in every relationship, and every day, all day, in your life, since you've been in Jesus Christ. And you take that grace, and you just serve it to other people. What if they're hard to work with? No. You just be like Jesus. How many believe he's coming again? Just pray some more, a little bit more this week, will you? And just decide that guy at work, who's probably an idiot, who's probably difficult, who's probably, okay. You just decide, I'm going to, above all things, just cover sins all week. Because nothing's worth my relationship with God. And then you decide to be a good steward of God's manifold grace and just serve. And he goes on and talks about a few ways to do that. We'll stop here. But I want you to think about that today. The end of all things is at hand. Wow, what a big statement. But Peter says, well, here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. Okay. How many think you can do some of that this week? Okay. Pastor, would you come at this time? Close our service as you see fit.
Wonderful practical truths, isn't they? Pretty simple. Sometimes we make things really tough, don't we? God's word is for mankind. And he's given us his word to apply it in our lives and live the Bible. We can know the Bible, but we need to live it. And what you've been given principles today to teach and teach us, to remind us to live the Bible. And so by living the Bible, we can love one another. We of course can serve. We can wait. We can be patient. And that would be probably one of mine that I, you know, I want patience, but give it to me now, type of thing, you know. And one of the things that we need to pray. Listen, I don't pray like that. I think any of us can say that. But it doesn't happen until it really gets to your heart and you have that need. Because remember what the Bible also says in Romans 8? It's the Spirit of God that gives you injunction in your heart. That means it's got to be pure so it will be. It's got to clean it. Then you'll pray for the right things. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and think, why am I thinking of this person? You know, I think it was a few weeks ago. For some reason, I woke up or whatever, and I think I was thinking of Kobiak and Wilson. And I just said, okay, well, there's a reason I woke up, reason I'm thinking of this. The dream was crazy about Kobiak, but I woke up and started praying for him. There's times where I'll be thinking of some of you, we'll wake up and pray for you. there's not a mistake that those things God brings in your mind. So let's be practical and pray for one another. There's sometimes we've been coming and I say, oh, forgive me, I haven't prayed for that person. You for that, like, shame on me. Lord, forgive me. Then I'll start praying. Then you better watch out, because then I'll start praying for you all the time, you know, and different things. But you just, folks, it is very practical. Honestly, as a believer, is it hard for you just to talk to the Lord? Shouldn't be. I remember we had the Pines guy. This was quite a few years ago. A man that we'd gotten a Bible for or whatever, and he came out and he says, "Would you write a prayer out for me?" I turned to him and I said, "No." I said, "Are you talking to me?" "Yeah." "Well, then we'll talk to the Lord." You just talk to the Lord. Give him your heart. And you know what will happen? You'll see God do some wonderful things, because many times you realize, well, I got to clean things up. I'm going to talk to the Lord, boy. And it is so wonderful, folks, to serve. It's so wonderful to love. And sometimes it's hard to love. I'm so glad God loves me. So this week as you go, I want you to really realize God loves you, and he wants you to be stirred up about that love that he has for you. And he wants you to pray and realize that love can help us get over it. And then that we just might serve. Glorifying God, you remember, let's see if we're doing right here. If we've done anything. Okay, our theme for this year, glorifying God by the means of his grace. What is glory? God's unique excellence, the unique excellence of God. What is glorifying God? Exhibiting the unique excellence of God. We need to have that in our hearts. Show the right opinion to God. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've